another hour of What's on Your Mind. Hi, friends. I'm Scott Hammond, along with Steve Bakken, who today is at the Bismarck Civic Center for the Bakken Infrastructure Conference. 800-228-0550 is our telephone number. Tell us what's on your mind. Tips, tablets. Minot has a school vote scheduled, $125 million plan for some new schools. That vote will happen in December. If you were up there, how would you vote on that? Hike your property taxes a little bit for some new schools, about $450 more per year in property taxes for the owner of a $200,000 home on that $125 million school improvement package that will be set for a December 10th vote. So some folks weighing in on that on our Facebook page. A server at Famous Dave's fired after posting on her Facebook page. By the way, she's since said she's remorseful, made a mistake, sorry, but still fired, incidentally, but posted on Facebook, hey, it's powwow weekend, help. My tips are nada, anything will help. And she's been fired. We asked the question, was that an overreaction or was that something you would have done as an employer? And it's prompted a whole bunch of discussions, calls from servers and folks saying, here's what you need, servers, to get tips from me. And in addition to the topic of whether or not Famous Dave's was right to fire this particular server. They fired the person that took the photo as well, the co-conspirator, so to speak. So love you to weigh in on that. A lot of folks weighing in on this tablet question that you raised, Steve. And again, when I say tablet, I always think of a notepad tablet. We're talking about computer tablet, right? And some schools in North Dakota are now buying the technology for the kids and sending them home. And in the case of Fargo schools, they send them home without working filters, because the filters they install on the technology only work when they're in school. So when they're at home, they don't work. And this has some folks a little bit upset about this. And I'm curious, we've asked, do kids come home with computers where you live? And are there filters on them? And is it the responsibility of the schools to put the filters on them? Or at least say, hey, there's no filters. Let us know what you think on any and all of these topics. Syria also obviously in the news. We now have a trifecta of Senator John Hoeven, who I believe was first on this, Congressman Kevin Cramer, who said he was leaning that way and hearing from North Dakotans, and then last Senator Heidi Heitkamp saying they'll be voting no on the current proposals on Syria. Some new idea seems to be gaining favor, and that's that this is a beauty, but that the Syrians would say, here, Russia, here's our chemical weapons, and Russia would go, we have them, everything's okay, and then the rest of us would go, okay, crisis solved. That cause you to sleep better at night knowing that that's a proposal, Steve? Steve, can you hear me? Okay. All right. Yeah. Steve is actually, as I mentioned, at the Bakken Infrastructure Conference this week, so he's going back and forth between the stage and introducing guests and different topics and the show, so he's beaming in and out. He must be on stage at this moment. But anyway, I don't know about you. It doesn't make me sleep much better knowing that that's the case at all. In fact, this is tonight the president addresses the nation on Syria. We've heard from our audience loud and clear. I don't know what you think about this latest proposal. Evidently, it was sort of an accident that John Kerry threw it out. And then a bunch of people said, yeah, we'd do that. Syria said, yeah, well, okay, fine. And the Russians are involved. But color me a little skeptical again. Same thing with the Heidi Heitkamp proposal on let's give them 45 days to sign a compact that they won't use these chemical weapons. They're going to go along with the ban. Hello? You know, you got to trust the person you're engaging in an agreement with, for crying out loud. Anyway, just crazy. 800-228-0550, 701-258-0550. Is our telephone number, studio at whatsonyourmindradio.com. Here's some of your comments that we didn't get to on the question of whether Famous Dave's overreacted in firing these employees or whether they got what they deserve. In case you missed this, two employees at a Famous Dave's in Bismarck fired after posting a photo to Facebook complaining about tips during the United Tribes International powwow. And specifically, the comment from a female server said, help, I'm a server at Famous Dave's on powwow weekend. Anything helps, 5 cents, 25 cents. It's more than my tips. She was in the restaurant wearing her uniform in the photo. She and the employee that took the photo both fired. Right move, wrong move, what say you? Here's what you're saying on Facebook about this. it wasn't that they posted something. It was that they posted what they posted was inherently racist, says Taylor. In a company uniform in the restaurant that was started by a Native American, not the smartest move. Sean says, rather than complaining, maybe these two should be trying to figure out how they could have done a better job serving the customers, earned tips, and then done a better job. Tips are not an entitlement. Carrie says, I say what I always say during tip discussions, that I think doctors and lawyers and bankers and teachers and all other professionals should be paid by the tip system as well. Then there would be some crying. All right. John and Minot, you're next on the program on What's On Your Mind. Go ahead.
Well, I, of course, think Famous Dave. Dave did what they needed to do, because when you're in that kind of business, you just can't have, well, any kind of business. If you're doing something that's going to hurt the business, they have a right to fire you. The thing I don't quite understand is, why would anybody say this is racist?
Well, if you're saying it's powwow weekend, so these tightwads aren't going to tip. Well, so I guess the connotation would be there'd be a lot of Native Americans in Bismarck for the big powwow, and therefore, so I guess that's the connection there.
Oh, okay. Well, I was just curious how this works, because when those three guys killed that baseball player from Australia in Oklahoma City, one of them had his, on his Facebook how much he hated white people, and yet the prosecutor there said, no race involved here, nothing to look at, no hate crime. So is it just white people that if they say something, it could be racist or hateful or a hate crime, or is it everybody in this country?
Yeah, you wonder, don't you? I hear you, John, and share the frustration sometimes. Thanks for the call. Larry in Fargo's mad at me.
Oh, no.
No, I'm not Steve's mad back. At you. Just want to know why you put any credibility in anything Barack Hussein Obama says, or his administration, or his Marxist Democrat minions. They're proven liars.
And by the way, just speaking of that, we have some breaking news that President Obama has agreed to engage in discussions at the United Nations to, quote, explore seriously the viability of Russia's proposal for Syria to hand over control of its chemical weapons to the international community. Obama spoke to his French and British counterparts. They agreed to work closely together and in consultation with Russia and China on a deal that would ensure the weapons' verifiable and enforceable destruction. Efforts will begin today at the UN. Will include discussion of a potential Security Council resolution. So I don't remember. What did I say, that I trusted Obama that would work out, or what did I say?
Well, it sounds like you're positive Assad gassed his own people. I'm more convinced that Al-Qaeda gassed Assad's people in the so-called agreement. What good is it going to do if Al-Qaeda's already got some of the chemical weapons?
You know, Larry,
I guess I'm trusting that this latest evidence is accurate. But, you know, what were you going to say?
You mean Obama's not above pressuring our intelligence folks to come up with the intelligence he wants?
Yeah, and I don't think it's just our intelligence that's. But I mean, fair point. There's no good guys in this deal. I'm with you there. Without
I don't know
question.
If I trust
Steve?
Our intelligence as far as I can throw them. We've got a history recently of poor.
Well, especially when Barack Hussein Obama's in charge. Look what he's done to the IRS.
Yeah, valid point, Larry. You know, one of the things that doesn't pass the smell test for me on this is when you start looking at what Russia's doing in this. Russia has a bigger role in here than I think anybody realizes. And one of the things I think, if somebody started digging in the right places, I'm wondering where some of those chemical weapons came from, and I'm wondering if they come back to Russia.
And my point is, and I don't trust Russia either. You know, when Russia says, hey, we'll work with Syria, we'll get the chemical weapons, yeah, right. But, you know, this, I will say to Larry's point on the trustworthiness of the administration, this smacks of, oh, boy, we were gunning to, you know, authorize a military strike. We're going to pull back the brakes and go to Congress to slow this thing down. And they see a train wreck politically. Train wreck. And so this is a yeah, well, Russia, we trust them. This is a way out, is what it looks like to me. And I think that's partly, as you said yesterday, what Heidi Heitkamp was up to with that 45-day waiting period, too. Larry, appreciate the call. Sharon, Evans County. Quick comment before the break. Go ahead, Sharon.
Yeah, I used to work in intelligence, and I just want to put in that when you brief somebody on something, they take out of that briefing only what they want to hear. So if they don't like what they hear, they just go with what they think they know. But as far as the getting the chemical weapons out, I trust the KGB, Putin, more than I trust Obama.
That's a sad indictment. Sharon, thanks for the call. Your comments, welcome. 800-228-0550. Stephen, I'm back after this.
We want to know what's on your mind. So call and tell us at 800-228-0550 or 701-258-0550.
Start your journey to health and wellness today with Youngevity. Hi, everybody. I'm Scott Hinnon. You've heard the ads for Youngevity. You've heard the stories. I have, too. I've dug into this a little bit, and I tell you what, this company, this product really excites me. You talk to folks who work at losing weight. Body's literally starving for minerals and trace elements as well as key vitamins. And then they found Youngevity. Products like Beyond Tangy Tangerine, Pollen Burst, and Rebound. Start taking them and lose weight in a short period of time. Get results. So listen up, listeners. Go to flagfamily.com. Flagfamily.com. Youngevity, by the way, has hundreds and hundreds of products, but these three are very key to immediate success. You'll see the changes in the way you look, feel, and in your appetite almost immediately. So let's get started on a journey to better health and better wellness today. Flagfamily.com. Click the Youngevity link to find out more and get started. Flagfamily.com, Youngevity link.
Beautify your North Dakota home with the look of the West. Visit the new Montana Furniture and Mercantile Showroom in Bismarck. Find unique furnishings crafted from reclaimed wood, hickory, juniper, old wagon wheels, and they specialize in Western copper, leather, and hide. It's furniture built to last. Rugged, beautiful furnishings in the new Montana Furniture and Mercantile Showroom. Find them on the Gulch Block, 508 Main Street in Bismarck.
It's a modern-day gold rush. Black gold, that is. North Dakota is the nation's second leading oil producer, pumping out over 793,000 barrels a day. Stop. This just in. Apex is hiring mechanical engineers and plumbers now. The right candidates earn $25 to $35 an hour depending on experience. Call Jim at 701-651-6753. That's 701-651-6753. Apex USA is an equal opportunity employer.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30%, while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us, and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
This is What's On Your Mind Radio. I'm Scott Hinnon, along with Steve Bakken. Steve today at the Bakken Infrastructure Conference at the Bismarck Civic Center and beaming in and out of the show today, doing some duties there. 800-228-0550, 701-258-0550, studio at whatsonyourmindradio.com. Arnie in Dunn County, North Dakota. That's our D.C., right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Exactly.
Actually, I just got a chance to talk to Daryl Dukard yesterday. He was on one of the panels yesterday. So, Arnie, what's on your mind today?
Say, I got a question. We're talking about this restaurant over the weekend. What is a fair rate for tipping? For, say, I don't know what it is, $20 was the bill or $15? What percent is a fair rate for tipping?
Well, usually it's 10 to 15%. I tend to tip a little bit heavier. If I get really good service, I at least 20%. I used to work in the service industry back in the day, and I think those that have worked in the service industry tip a little bit better. But it always goes back to the service. If I get great service, I don't mind if a restaurant's busy. If I wait a little bit longer, that's not the server's fault. If I have a very attentive server, they're going to get rewarded for the service. Now, what I don't like is the places that mandate a tip in for me. You go, oh, well, it's 15% or 20% on your bill. It's like, no. That's something I think a server needs to earn.
Yeah, I agree. I guess that's about what I do, 10, 15%. Thank you. That's all I have. Bye.
Maybe some servers could give us their sense of what they feel. I've always, I don't know where I picked this up, but I always 10 for poor service, right? I mean, just, that sends a message that, hey, this was just average. 15%, says, hey, I received the service I think is appropriate here. 20%, hey, you really did it. You went above and beyond. You did a good job. That's always been my rule of thumb, but I don't know what's right, what's wrong. I'd be curious what the service. We had one fellow in the industry call and say, is upwards of 10% of people don't tip at all. Don't tip a penny. So, let us know. 800-228-0550, 701-258-0550. A lot of folks weighing in on this on Facebook as well. The other story we were talking about is schools sending computers home with the students. This is a growing trend in North Dakota schools. There was a story recently in one of the North Dakota newspapers, I think the Forum newspapers, might have been Fargo Forum, talking about the fact that all of the Fargo Metro schools do this now. But one school actually sends the technology home with the students without filtering software. When they're using the computer in school, they have filtering software, but when it goes off campus, they don't. And like you, Steve, that raised this earlier when we talked about it, the story, most of our audience on Facebook, not happy.
Isn't it called parenting? Shouldn't the parents be monitoring?
Well, that's what the school's saying. That's what the school's saying. But, I mean, to me, if the school issues a device and doesn't let the parents know that, hey, that device doesn't have, filtering, so you need to pay attention. I don't know. I think the schools could be a little more proactive on this.
How many kids have smartphones? And there's nothing you can't access on a smartphone.
But the smartphone came from mom or dad, or it came from somebody else. This is the school saying, here you go, and go out into the wild frontier. To me, it's, first of all, as a parent myself, if a son or daughter came home with technology I didn't buy, I'd say, whoa, what's going on here? How's this work? Right? I'd want to know. So, I mean, I think the schools are right to say, this is a parental deal, get engaged. But on the other hand, I think there ought to be at least some notification. And because this is a flaw. They admit this is a flaw. Right now, the software they put in only works when it's on campus, doesn't work when it's off campus. So here's what some folks said. Jason, it's pretty easy and inexpensive to add content filters to devices, even when they are off the school network. So he's suggesting, again, parents be proactive, figure it out. Ricky says, I don't know how much more info parents need, as this has been aired at least once a week on the news channels and articles in the newspaper about it. Ron says the school can track exactly where students have been on the net. John says, I'm a small-town city council guy. Some of our members thought we should all have iPads at the taxpayers' expense. My feeling is and was that I'm not against the change norm against technology, but we should have to pay for them, not the taxpayers. Discussion was dropped. Same for the schools. Brett says, good luck. Teenagers generally are much more technologically savvy than their parents and guardians anyway. All right. Welcome your comments on this and the other stories of the day. Carl in Northgate, you're next on What's in Your Mind. Go ahead, Carl.
Thank you. Say, I patronize the bar once in a while. in Minot, for instance, and I know the owners and stuff like that. And a lot of times the lady who runs the doggone place expects you to give her a tip. Now, I kind of feel it's her job to serve me, but if a me or something like that, that's a different story.
That's an interesting one because I've heard too. If you're a proprietor, really, you're not. You know, you're in a different category. So is it proper for the proprietor to be tipped? I'd say no. I'm with you, Carl.
Yeah, you don't tip the owner just because they're the owner. You know, they're not working. Now, if they're working and serving you, then great. But if they're just there and providing the facilities, then yeah, no. So, Carl, thanks for the phone call. Let's go to Dana and Hinkinson. What's on your mind today?
I've got a pet peeve, a pretty well represented chain restaurant. I won't mention the name, but they train their waitresses where they come by with their little folder and give you your bill. You put your cash in it and stuff, and their waitresses come back and pick it up without even looking in it and say, "Do you want your change?"
Yeah.
You know, if you got a $45 bill, yeah. you got $100 in there. No, I don't tip $65 or $55. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's a valid point. I that is one of my annoyances too. That and not getting my bill is my biggest annoyance. But I've come across that as well, where it's like, oh, do you want your change? It's like, well, maybe you should look and see if there's a big overage in there, and then ask. Hey, when I've managed restaurants and bars, the one thing I always did not, one of my other pet peeves is always make sure you give customers the largest bill possible. I hate it when servers come back and, if you got $10 in change, they'll give you 10 ones. I hate that. To me as a manager, that's begging for a tip. And a tip is something you earned. It's not something you beg for.
Dana, appreciate the call. Thanks a bunch. Hope things are going well in Dickinson today. Thank you for listening. We're going to take a break. When we come back, a topic that was the interest of a lot of our listeners on Friday on what Common Core standards will mean for education in North Dakota. Brenda Heller, a state representative, was on, very much opposed to Common Core, as a lot of our listeners are. The North Dakota Department of Public Instruction asked for some time to give the other side of the story. So we're allowing that, and welcome your calls for Ryan Townsend next when we come back on What's on Your Mind.
Serving the Northern Plains, this is What's on Your Mind. Back to more of your calls straight ahead.
The Bakken is buzzing about drill and dry absorbents from Green Technologies. Green Technologies is the exclusive distributor of drill and dry, a product that can save you time and save you money in the oil patch. It is the best all-natural absorbent product specifically produced for oil field applications. Drill and dry from Green Technologies. Find out more at gtmwt.com. That's their website. gtmwt.com or call 855-246-4312. It's a fine-grade product with unique properties made as an efficient absorbent commonly used for oil and water cleanup, spills, and other environmental remediation. And the high absorption results in rapid drill bit cuttings drying. High internal void volume results in savings up to 30% too. Drill and dry. The best all-natural absorbent specifically produced for oil field applications. Green Technologies is the place to get drill and dry. Call 855-246-4312 or online at gtmwt.com.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeCig.com. And LeCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of world wide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
In times of disaster, internet and mobile networks will go dark. A wealth of online information will be completely inaccessible. Now, imagine the most extensive survival and disaster preparedness library ever created, with information for every possible scenario, still available to you without online access. That's the survival key. Ben Franklin said it best. By failing to prepare, you're preparing to fail. Get your survival key at GetSurvivalKey.com. Quite literally, the key to your survival. GetSurvivalKey.com.
What if you had a witness everywhere you drive? Now you can with video-cam.com. From truckers to motorcyclists, the handy video dash cam can be used for insurance claims, accidents, police encounters, road rage, or natural disasters. Has instant screen playback and optional night vision. Get the best quality, affordable HD dash cameras available at video-cam.com. That's video-cam.com. Or call 855-855-2022. Always have a witness with video dash cam.
Heart is a glow, shoots up through the stony ground. There's no road, no space to rent in this.
This is What's on Your Mind. Hi, friends. I'm Scott Hinnon, along with Steve Bakken, who's at the Bakken Infrastructure Conference at the Bismarck Civic Center today on the program. By the way, Friday I'll be at Chase on the Lake. Yes, remember the fishing opener? We were out of Chase on the Lake, Leech Lake, Walker, Minnesota. Well, it seems like a blink ago, but already we're in September, and they got some fun planned this weekend, so we'll be out there to tell you more about that. Look forward to it. In a moment, we're going to be talking about Common Core State Standards. Look forward to that conversation. A lot of you called in on that topic on Friday when we had Brenda Heller, a North Dakota State Representative, on, who's concerned about, a lot of our listeners concerned about. We've been hearing about this for months, and today we're going to hear about this from the perspective of the Department of Public Instruction. The Director of Academic Standards will join us on the program here momentarily. This hour of the program, by the way, brought to you by the North Dakota Farm Bureau. Let's talk a little bit about the North Dakota Farm Bureau a moment, shall we? Do you know that agriculture's direct contribution to North Dakota's economy every year is around $6 billion? That's six with a B, folks. Ag represents close to a quarter of our state's economic base, employs approximately 25% of the workforce of the state of North Dakota, so it really is North Dakota's economic engine. And the North Dakota Farm Bureau is that economic engine of agriculture's best advocate. The Farm Bureau understands how that strong agriculture sector keeps our state strong overall. But you might not realize this. The Farm Bureau is actually more than just agriculture, too. And they're about everything that's important to North Dakota. A strong, growing, vibrant economy and good schools, safe communities, and keeping more of our hard-earned money in our own pockets. Farm Bureau members know the organization is not only working for them on important issues in Bismarck or in Washington, D.C., but they save you a few bucks on everything from new and used vehicles to prescription drugs. You can find out more about the organization by visiting their website, ndfb.org. ndfb.org, your state, your future, your Farm Bureau. All right, as I mentioned on Friday, Brenda Heller was on us on the program with us. Brenda's the North Dakota State Representative from District 33. A lot of calls came in about Common Core State Standards. That's a set of requirements for what elementary and secondary school children should know in each grade in math and English language arts. And within the last 3 years, every state except a handful, Alaska, Nebraska, Texas, and Virginia, have opted out, including North Dakota. And a lot of people are alarmed about the centralization of authority over the K-12 education system, which is traditionally decentralized. So, and a lot of issues have been raised, a lot of concerns. Ryan Townsend is going to join us today. He's the Director of Academic Standards at the North Dakota Department of Public Instruction, specifically to address some of the issues they took exception with that were discussed on Friday. Your questions or comments are welcome, by the way, for our guests as well. 800-228-0550. Thanks for joining us, Ryan. We appreciate you being here.
Hey, no problem.
So, specifically, anything you wanted to respond to that was discussed on Friday that most concerns you, Ryan?
You know, actually, Superintendent Baszler, myself, and the assistant and deputy were in meetings all morning and didn't actually hear the live broadcast, but received some phone calls from educators in the field that were concerned about some of the information. So if you have a couple of things that were mentioned, perhaps that I could address directly, that'd be great.
Yeah, I think that'd be about impossible just to kind of go through point by point. But I,
right.
My understanding was that did you guys want to respond to some specific things that have been up? And in general, obviously, we hear from a lot of listeners that just don't like this idea, see a lot of bad in Common Core state standards. You're obviously not alarmed that DPI is behind this. Maybe just from that standpoint, talk about why you feel all of these concerns and fears that have been raised by folks are unfounded.
And I think there's a lot of groups that are behind it beyond DPI, but... you know, it's important to understand that the Common Core is not a federally mandated set of standards. It did not come from the Department of Education. It came from the National Governors Association and the Chief Council of State School Officers. And I think if it was federally mandated, we would see 50 states and U.S. territories instead of the 45 or 46 that it is now. And the standards, the Common Core standards in ELA and math are just standards. They're the floor of what we expect each year. They are not curriculum. They're not the how. They're simply the what. You know, what needs to be learned at each grade level. Local school districts, local teachers in the classroom are still deciding how that information is getting out. One example I like to use is soil conservation. You know, the topic of soil conservation is important no matter where you live in North Dakota, whether it's the Red River Valley in Fargo and Grand Forks or the Bakken out west. Soil conservation is an important topic. How you teach it in West Fargo is going to be very different than how you teach it in Williston. But it's important that both sets of those students understand what soil conservation is and what it means for them.
Ryan, where are the areas the Common Core covers? Math, English, what other avenues of education are there Common Core standards? And then I also want you to differentiate the difference between the standards and what a curriculum is within the school district.
Yeah. There are no Common Core standards in any other grade levels or subject areas. There is something called the Next Generation Science Standards, and I believe foreign language and fine arts groups are working on a national set of standards, but none of them are a part of the Common Core. The science standards, the foreign language, the arts, none of those groups have anything to do with Common Core. And I haven't heard anything necessarily about social studies, but again, none of that would be a part of where Common Core came from. And standards, again, are just the what. You know, they explain what a kid needs to know at each grade level. And historically, that's been up to states to define. And it still is. In fact, I mean, we adopted the Common Core based on what our state educators said was important. We brought in, I think it was 35 English language arts from both private and public schools, 29 math teachers from private, public, and higher ed. And they sat down and said, looked at the Common Core and said, this is what is important for our students. We think it's more rigorous. We think it's cohesive. It establishes college and career readiness goals for students. And this is what our curriculum should be based on here in North Dakota. And our schools should develop their own curriculum, their own resources, their own classes based on those standards.
Any concerns that you have on these Common Core standards? Good opportunity to express them with our guest today, Ryan Townsend, who's Director of Academic Standards at the North Dakota Department of Public Instruction. To do it, 701-258-0550, 800-258-0550 is the toll-free telephone number. One of the things that Brenda Heller has raised is saying while local districts could continue to have control of their own curriculum, the testing consortia that we belong to will be aligned with Common Core standards. Therefore, students are expected to do well on the Common Core aligned test. Teachers are required to teach in alignment with those standards. And that goes on to say, go ahead.
And that's the way it's been for decades. Before the Common Core, we had our North Dakota state standards, and students were taking tests based on the North Dakota state standards. So teachers still had their standards that they were required to meet in order for that student to be proficient at that grade level. You know, that the Common Core doesn't change that. It changes the set of standards that the teacher should base their curriculum on. So, I mean, decades ago, we were taking the Iowa skills test based on Iowa's standards, and we were holding students to those test scores. before No Child Left Behind, those test scores weren't really used for any type of an accountability. But now, under No Child Left Behind, we have accountability to those test scores. So they've become more important to our local educational leaders. And I think that there's been more attention brought to them.
She also said that Common Core requires that 85% of what is taught be from the Common Core curriculum, so teachers have little flexibility in teaching what they deem to be important. In essence, parents and teachers will have no recourse if they see the new curriculum is not satisfactory in the classroom.
No. When the Common Core came out, there was some guideline associated with that states would have flexibility within writing the standards and adopting the standards up to about a 15% variance to include their own local stuff that they felt was important to North Dakota. So when we adopted the Common Core, we didn't just adopt word for word what the Common Core was. In fact, if you read the Common Core state standards at the bottom, there are little annotations that say, you know, this is a North Dakota edition. So that's where I think where that 85 and 15 comes from. But again, that's for the standards, not anything related to the curriculum that a school uses. That is still, I mean, if a parent is upset about something that's being taught in a classroom, it's not, there's absolutely nothing in the standards that says, here is how this should be taught. Here's the book you should use. Here's the worksheet that should be used. There's nothing in the Common Core that says anything about how they should be taught. It's merely, you know, the very first standard in kindergarten math is students can count to 100 by ones and tens. That's it. It doesn't say you should use this worksheet. It doesn't say you should use this method. It just says that is what we expect students to be able to do when they leave kindergarten.
Ryan, is the Common Core standards more stringent, more rigorous than what North Dakota's former standards were? And the reason I ask is because I've talked to some educators that say they spend more time teaching to those Common Core standards than their own addressing their own curriculum within their own classroom.
I would say that, you know, that we actually have a crosswalk of the old state standards and the new state standards available on our website. And you'll see that in a lot of places that the Common Core is much more rigorous than what North Dakota had, but in other places it's not as rigorous. And I think that that's still entirely up to the teacher, that if they want to go above and beyond where the rigor was not higher in the Common Core, if they feel that those students are more capable, they could certainly go above. Again, the Common Core is the floor, not the ceiling. So the standards merely reflect what should be taught at each grade level. As far as time, was that the other half of your question there?
They spent time teaching to those core standards.
And I think we see that when we tie the assessment score to a teacher's performance, or when we tie that assessment score to how well a school is doing, then what else should we focus on if our accountability, if we're going to hold schools accountable in law by a test score on how well their students are doing, what else should they focus on? You know,
let's get a question from a listener. Excuse me, Ryan, I want to get this before the break. Sally in Bismarck with your question. Go ahead.
Well, my question is...
Oh, I'm sorry. Sally, I'm sorry. I was off a minute here. We're too close to the break. Just hang tight. We'll get you in first when we come back from the break. Brenda wants to weigh in as well. With our guest, Ryan Townsend from the Department of Public Instruction, talking Common Core today. Another emailer says, why do we need some bureaucrat in Washington or Bismarck drooming up standards for everyone anyway? We'll let Ryan answer that, too, when we come back on What's On Your Mind.
A program that asks a very important question every day. What's on your mind? 800-228-0550.
If you need a building for any reason, you need Bach & Bruce. We're talking hangars. Yeah, as in put airplanes in them. We're talking industrial uses. We're talking garages, workshops, trucking, agriculture, horse barns, arenas, storage buildings, warehouse. They built churches. They built schools. They built fire and police stations. And guess what? If you call them and get a free quote, you're going to see why thousands and thousands of people in the Bakken every day are finding out why Legacy Steel Buildings are the industry leader in providing superior quality, service, and durability at the most competitive prices. But here's the deal. Everybody tells you that, right? It sounds like a sales pitch. Call Bach and Bruce Anker, and the team at Legacy Steel Buildings, 800-237-9620. Bruce and his brother Wayne and their family have been building buildings in this part of the world forever. They'll help you out. 800-237-9620. Tell them Scott sent you.
Before you buy, give it a hometown try. KeepItLocal.com.
KeepItLocal.com, the Northland's most respected auto shopping website for over 10 years. Whether you're looking to buy or sell a car, truck, SUV, or boat, KeepItLocal.com keeps it simple. With hundreds of dealers and private sellers, our inventory changes daily. We are the source for finding your next auto or power sport item. Remember, KeepItLocal.com. We keep it simple.
Before you buy, give it a hometown try. KeepItLocal.com.
Beautify your North Dakota home with the look of the West. Visit the new Montana Furniture and Mercantile Showroom in Bismarck. Find unique furnishings crafted from reclaimed wood, hickory, juniper, old wagon wheels, and they specialize in Western copper, leather, and hide. It's furniture built to last. Rugged, beautiful furnishings in the new Montana Furniture and Mercantile Showroom. Find them on the Gulch Block, 508 Main Street in Bismarck.
Summertime is sale time at Herbal Healer Academy. Current customers know this is the time to save big and stock up at HerbalHealer.com. New customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Right now, Herbal Healer's summer specials include our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale, CoQ10 with Hawthorn, Colon Enhancer, Sea Cucumber, Superfam and Super Male Plex, plus Glucosamine Chondroitin, our best-selling liquid CalMag Vitamin D, and our colloidal minerals, all on sale for summer at HerbalHealer.com. And Herbal Healer also offers certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on to our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988. Herbal Healer Academy at HerbalHealer.com.
You are now in the crosshairs. The NSA and FBI are treating you like a criminal and monitoring your every move. Ron Paul said recently, the evidence of the totalitarian nature of this government is on display undeniably every day. What's taking place right now is a coup and the destruction of the Constitution. Fortunately, there is something you can do about it. Learn how to be invisible, lock down your privacy, and even disappear forever. Go to privacylockdown.com to learn how. That's privacylockdown.com.
Attention homeschoolers, teachers, and students of all ages. Now there's a way to learn English grammar using the Holy Bible. Sacred Grammar is a unique book that teaches all of the fundamentals of English grammar using Bible verses. Affordable and simple to use, it's a superb supplement and a great teacher's aid. Whether your focus is teaching children at home, strengthening your own writing skills, or just speaking proper English, Sacred Grammar offers all the tools you'll ever need. Learn to use words through His Word. For more information, go to sacredgrammar.com at sacredgrammar.com.
It's time for another North Dakota Farm Bureau Ag Minute. Why do farmers do what they do? That's the questions you've asked. Don from the North Dakota Farm Bureau is here to answer your questions.
Don, why do farmers sometimes run their combines way past dark?
When conditions are right and the crop is ready, farmers need to harvest as quickly as possible. Mother Nature isn't always cooperative. Wind, rain, or hail can all damage the quality of the crop, which means a financial hit for farmers. The price farmers get for their crops is based on a variety of factors. If the seeds are too dry or too wet or cracked or broken, farmers won't get the best price for their crop. So farmers harvest when the weather and the crop conditions are right, no matter what time of day it is.
Thanks, Don. We want to know what questions you have about agriculture and why farmers do what they do. Submit your questions by going to ndfb.org and clicking on the Contact Us link at the top of the page. That's today's What's on Your Mind Ag Minute, brought to you by the North Dakota Farm Bureau.
We're talking with Ryan Townsend, Director of Academic Standards at the North Dakota Department of Public Instruction. Let's get to the phone calls. The full phone bank, Sally in Bismarck. What's on your mind?
Hello.
Go ahead, Sally.
Okay, Sally, welcome back. Sorry to keep you waiting. Go ahead.
No problem. I guess I was just thinking there seems to be a lot of confusion about what the Common Core is, who's behind it, what it means for our students in our schools. So I wanted to ask, Ryan, does DPI have like a blueprint for, you know, educating parents and the community? Because it's not just, you know, affecting the parents. It'll affect the workforce and the businesses. So do you have a blueprint for, like, educating all of us in general about the new standards? And, like, will there be, like, public forums open to the community to ask questions and voice concerns?
That's a great question, and we do have a lot of materials available on our website, but we are also working with the North Dakota Council of Educational Leaders and a few others to develop pamphlets, you know, stuff to disseminate to parents and students so that they can share what it is, what it isn't, answer some of the questions, and you bet. I mean, Superintendent Baszler and I myself are going to be in a few schools, excuse me, coming up, and would be happy to go anywhere we were needed to go to discuss Common Core state standards and why they're important for our students.
Yeah, great idea, Sally, because there is a lot of concern about it. I mean, it's a topic that's not going away, so a good suggestion.
Can we do the email question about the bureaucrat in Bismarck? And
you sure can, yeah. Here was the question. Why do we need some bureaucrat in Washington or Bismarck dreaming up standards for everyone?
And I think it's important to note that we have standards in a lot of other areas besides education that are designed to, you know, for, like, building an airplane, for instance. I mean, you can't just throw parts onto an airplane that aren't developed and designed based on a set of standards. And I'm certainly not equating educating a student to machining a part. But standards are just that. They're the basics of what needs to be learned and when it needs to be learned at which grade level. And as far as myself being a bureaucrat, I've been in North Dakota. I attended Valley City State University. I was a science teacher for 10 years. My wife is an English teacher and a librarian here in Bismarck. I was the superintendent of Divide County Schools for 3 years up in Crosby. Public education in North Dakota is absolutely the most important thing to me next to my family. I have two kids that attend school here in Bismarck, and if I was the least bit concerned about how that instruction was being delivered, I would talk to the teacher. But as far as the standards on which that teacher is basing their curriculum on, I'm more than happy with.
Got it. Great answer. Let's go to Brandon next. And if you could, we have just a short bit of time, literally 2 minutes left here. So quick questions, quick answers. Brenda, go ahead, if you would, for Ryan. You're next.
Good morning, gentlemen. I really appreciate, Ryan, you presenting accurate information about Common Core. I think Sally's absolutely right. There are a lot of misnomers out there, a lot of, you know, inaccurate information that's being spread about Common Core. I taught for over 23 years and 11 years in the Bismarck Public School System. I chair the teacher prep program at the University of Mary. And when I'm out in the field speaking with teachers, teachers are overwhelmingly in favor of the Common Core. And the real crux of that support comes from the important need to get students college and career ready. And, you know, what the Common Core does that the old standards don't do is they're backward designed. They look at the very beginning from college and career readiness, and they go backward from there. What do we need to do to get students college and career ready? You know,
Ryan, quickly.
Absolutely. You know, the Common Core initiative that was started with the National Governors Association at CCSSO came out of concerns from higher ed who were saying our students are needing too many remedial classes. They're not ready for college credit bearing coursework. And from businesses saying we need to train students or train new workers in things that they should have learned in high school. So these standards take what is college and career ready. That is that students can demonstrate independence. They value evidence. They use technology. They understand perspectives and can comprehend and critique things. And we took those guidelines and we worked backwards to kindergarten. And that's a really important part of what the Common Core is and how it was developed. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate the call. Unfortunately, we're out of time here. We're just we don't have enough time to get the rest of the callers in here, but we will continue to follow the subject. And, Ryan, appreciate you joining us today, taking some of the questions from the listeners as well. And keep us posted if you end up doing some of those forums so we can let folks know on all sides of this issue where and when, okay?
And then there's some really important privacy stuff that we didn't even touch on here that people need to be aware that, you know, the Smarter Balance Consortium is only requesting 6 pieces of data. A student ID.
All right, well, we'll have you back on that for sure. Appreciate it. Thanks a bunch. Got to go, unfortunately, folks. See you tomorrow. This hour of the program brought to you by the North Dakota Farm Bureau. Check them out at ndfb.org. Your state, your future, your Farm Bureau. For Steve Bach, and I'm Scott Hennon. God bless you one and all, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Welcome to Soybean Minute with Diana Beetelsbacher.
In collaboration with South Dakota and Minnesota, the North Dakota Soybean Council is engaged in a project designed to change the way soybean buyers define protein quality. For many years, crude protein has been the conventional measure of soybean protein quality. Yet soybean farmers in our region have lower crude protein levels due to environmental conditions. Careful analysis through several years of research has shown that the protein quality of northern soybeans is much better thanks to their higher concentrations of essential amino acids. Thanks to your checkoff dollars, we are able to conduct this research and educate international buyers on the fact that amino acid content is the more complete and accurate indicator of soybean feeding value. This will ultimately lead to increased market share and higher returns to soybean farmers in this region.
This message is brought to you by the North Dakota Soybean Council and the Soybean Checkoff.
There's a huge and hushed up conspiracy going on that's about to turn your lives upside down in the coming few months. Unbelievably, the media are keeping quiet about this. I'm sure they know it, but they probably know that revealing it on TV will generate mass hysteria and chaos. But I believe you should be informed about it, because when the sinister agenda is finally accomplished and everything unravels, only those who know this secret info will survive and thrive. Go to 123conspiracy.com right now to see the truth. The video at 123conspiracy.com reveals the real, secret reason why Obama is after your guns and ammo. And it's not just in response to mass murders of preparing for war. It's something much darker. Go watch the video now at 123conspiracy.com before they shut it down. Again, that's 123conspiracy.com.
It's hurricane and wildfire season again. Why do thousands of people sit in these reoccurring problem areas year after year, betting their lives that the disaster won't get them? Hundreds of you help eFoods Direct ship 50,000 donated meals to the Oklahoma victims. The problem is we can't help everybody. If every one of us who can will take care of ourselves, we can all pitch in to take care of those who really can't. The new Just In Case Pack from eFoods Direct is the big brother to the 7-day emergency pack designed for Oklahoma disaster donations. It contains a 2-month supply for one person, or a 1-month supply for two adults, or a 2-week supply for a family of four. The $320 price is $50 less than retail. Call 800-409-5633 on the web eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. Order two or more, get 10% off, free shipping applies. Call 800-409-5633 on the web eFoodsDirect.com/Alex.
My name is Kate Swirling, and I am in the early part of my 10th decade. I want to discuss the issue of pharmaceuticals versus minerals and vitamin supplements. I remember a discussion between my mother and me. It was at that time that canned vegetables and fruits were introduced into the U.S. market. It was some time before my mother and others felt comfortable with food in cans. That was also the time when drugstores offered for sale cough syrup and aspirins and not much else. Let's fast forward to this decade, the here and now. Simple drugstores are large corporations with the message that they are the ones who have the power to cure human ills. Meanwhile, the battle continues, with minerals and vitamins being the answer to human ills. Who will win the battle? I believe and hope it will be the belief in the power of vitamins and minerals over that of the toxic chemicals in prescription drugs. What do you think?